Heavenly Father, we come before you now, dependent upon you even in this, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of your grace that are given to us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 11 and continue through verse 15. We're also looking at Belgic Confession, Article 33. Belgic Confession, Article 33 on the sacraments. Article 33, it's found on page 867 in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal. And we're also looking at Colossians chapter 2 at verse 11. Hear now the word of our God from Colossians chapter 2 at verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Now we'll look at Belgic Confession, Article 33. It's found on page 867. Belgic Confession, Article 33. On the sacraments. We believe that our good God, mindful of our crudeness and weakness, has ordained sacraments for us to seal his promises to us, to pledge his goodwill and grace toward us, and also to nourish and sustain our faith. He has added these to the word of the gospel to represent better to our external senses both what he enables us to understand by his word and what he does inwardly in our hearts, confirming in us the salvation he imparts to us. For they are visible signs and seals of something internal and invisible, by means of which God works in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So they are not empty and hollow signs to fool and deceive us, for their truth is Jesus Christ, without whom they would be nothing. Moreover, we are satisfied with the number of sacraments that Christ our Master has ordained for us. There are only two, the sacrament of baptism and the Holy Supper of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come now to the first of three articles in the Belgic Confession that are dealing with the sacraments. This is still under the section of the church, and it ends with the sacraments. This is the last part. We went through church government and church membership and true church, false church. Now we are in the big section of the sacraments. This is the shortest article, as you can look forward to in the back. The description of baptism and the Lord's Supper is a sermon in itself. We'll get to that, as my grandpa would say, my great-grandpa, we'll get there when we get there. But the article begins with why God gave us the sacraments. Why did God give them to us? And we'll go over that briefly before we get to exactly what are the sacraments. So why did God give them to us? And there are principally two reasons for why God gave us the sacraments. First, God gave us the sacraments because He knew and remembered our frame, that we are but dust. And we are weak and we are frail, and knowing that we are often wanting to experience things through our outward senses, God gave us these sacraments. Visible signs and seals that we can see, we touch, communion, we taste, right? God is saying, just as you experience these things with your senses, so truly are my promises to you. That's how real they are. Because He knew that we would always struggle in this life to trust Him by faith. We all struggle to believe in things we cannot see. And what God is doing for us in the sacraments is He is showing us what you cannot see is actually more real, more true than what you can. What is going on in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit is far bigger, far greater than what water does in washing away the dirt from your body, or what bread and wine do to nourish your body. That what the Holy Spirit is doing in us is far greater. Because the Holy Spirit is giving to us personally the Lord Jesus Christ and all of the benefits He has earned for us. Now, that's the first thing. So God is encouraging us in the weakness of our flesh to trust Him more. Second reason why God gave us sacraments is because they are seals of His covenant to us. Every covenant that God makes with us has a sacrament attached to it. A visible seal that what God has promised to do, He will do it. In the Garden of Eden, before the fall, before Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in what we would say is the covenant of works, the original covenant that God made in perfection with Adam and Eve, in that covenant, what was the sacrament? What was it? It was a different tree, the tree of life, which is why theologians will often call it the sacramental tree, and it's also why Revelation talks about the tree of life. Because there again, the culmination, that which is lost has been returned. Okay? What's when we think of the Noahic covenant? Well, actually, before that even. Adam and Eve, after they sinned, covenant of grace is given. Genesis 3:15, right? Satan's going to get his head stomped on real good. And God is going to send a Savior to do just that. What's the sacrament there? Well, that one's a little less known. We maybe don't know that one quite as well, but God does something. He kills some animals, doesn't He? And He gives their skins, the clothing, to Adam and Eve. And that is a sign that by the shedding of blood, innocent blood, they will be covered. Their shame will be done away with, because of their sin by the sacrifice of Christ. And so, we see there's a sacrament there. Noahic covenant, that's an easy one. We know what the sacrament there is. The rainbow, right? Abrahamic covenant. Circumcision. Mosaic covenant. Covenant made with Moses. Well, that one is an addition of, there's still circumcision, but also Passover. And then we get to the new covenant in Christ, and we have baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we'll get to more of that in a minute, but it's helpful for us to see that every covenant that God makes with His people has a sacrament attached to it. A visible sign and seal that what He has promised to do, He is going to do it. Now, we've answered why did God give us the sacraments. Now, what exactly are they? I answered that a little bit already. They are visible signs that communicate to us different aspects of the gospel, and they are seals of God's covenant promises. We'll get into each sacrament individually in the coming weeks, the Lord willing, so we won't get into too much of the symbolism of each one of them right now, but I'll touch on it just for a moment. But for right now, let us just think upon the sacraments in general. They symbolize for us what God does inwardly to us by His Word, and they confirm in us the salvation that God imparts to us. So what does God do to us inwardly by the preaching of the gospel? Well, the first thing is God creates in us new life, doesn't He? As Paul says in Romans 10, verses 13 through 17, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The Holy Spirit works in the hearts of God's people in a special and almost unique way through the preaching of the Word. That's why we call it, you can look at it in the Heidelberg Catechism, it's the primary means of grace. And so if we are separating ourselves from it, it's only to our spiritual harm. And it happens when an ordained minister or one called by God is proclaiming it. Now, it is, as I said, the ordinary way that God works in saving souls is through the preaching of the Word of God. And it is the way also that Christ Himself nourishes us and continues to make us more alive in Him by the Holy Spirit. And so, as we look at the weeks to come of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, they symbolize those two realities of conversion and regeneration, but also of being sanctified, being fed and nourished, and the continual process of the cutting away of the old nature and the bringing to life of the new nature. Now, having said that, we are not then to just understand the sacraments as empty and hollow, as Article 33 says. These aren't just moments for us to remember what God does to us in Christ by the preaching of His Word, but they are signs and seals that which we remember what God is doing, but He is still actually doing something in the midst of those sacraments. This, as I said, is not just an action of us remembering, but God is doing something. For we believe that the sacraments are also a means of grace, a means by which God is giving to us His grace. But a means of grace, and we need to be clear on this, that is dependent on the Word of God. There would be no spiritual benefit to us to make use of these sacraments if they were not done connected to and in conjunction with the Word of God. Right? We understand that being baptized is different than taking a shower. Right? I think we all recognize the difference, even though the outward sign is very similar. What's the difference? Well, baptism is attended to by the Word of God, specifically by the name of God being placed on the person. Right? Now, if a sacrament is done in conjunction with the Word of God, and we receive the sacraments with a believing heart, we believe and can be assured that Christ is spiritually present and is actively working in our hearts and minds. We'll come back to this more in a moment, but before we do, I want to change gears just a little bit. We'll get there at the end. We'll come back to it, I promise. But right now, before we get there, I want to take up something else. Because we need to understand what sacraments are given by Christ to the church. Because that will help us understand the uniqueness of baptism and the Lord's Supper and how they teach us gospel realities. Now, as we covered previously, okay, so just to back up, what sacraments are given by Christ to the church? That's the question we're answering right now. As we covered previously, they are baptism and the Lord's Supper. We see in our passage in Colossians that in the same breath, Paul is talking about circumcision and baptism. He sees them as symbolizing the same thing. So that answers the question, I hope, of, well, why don't we still do circumcision or Passover as sacraments? Why don't we do that? Well, it was understood by the apostles that circumcision was no longer necessary. See the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, where they did not require the Gentiles to be circumcised because they saw that that was no longer the sacrament of being included into the body of Christ, but rather baptism was. And we can see that because Christ himself told them to do that in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Right? So there we see very clearly baptism replaces circumcision. And it also follows that clearly the apostles saw the Lord's Supper replacing the Passover. It's clearly evident from Jesus and what he does at Passover, at the Last Supper, in which Jesus breaks from tradition and institutes a new ceremony, which Jesus says to do this in remembrance of him. Not Passover, do the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. Not to mention, we can't keep the Passover rightly anyway anymore because there is no temple. So you can't do it even if you wanted to according to the biblical description. The Lord, for a very good purpose, shut the door on that one. But why then do we only have these two sacraments? Why do we only have these two? Guido de Bray, he, in writing this confession, is writing against the Catholic Church, which at the time and to this day still teaches that there are seven sacraments. And we might say, well, seven's a good number. That's a biblical number, right? Well, the problem is that those five extra sacraments that the Roman Catholic Church celebrates is most of them are good practices, we would agree, but they're never instituted by Christ as a sacrament. Marriage, for example, in the Catholic Church is a sacrament. And we would say, well, marriage is a good thing. I should say that. My wife's sitting right there. Marriage is a good thing. Right? Marriage is a good thing. We would all agree with that. Paul says it's an institution commendable to all, right? It's a wonderful institution. It's a good thing. God designed that union between a man and woman, and He designed that family structure. And so it is also, as Paul says in Ephesians 5, it's also a picture of Christ and the church, right? It's a good thing that does teach us more about the gospel. But nowhere does Christ institute it as a sacrament. And there's a number of reasons for why that is. Because, for example, if it was a means of grace, well, then the Apostle Paul himself would not be able to have that means of grace because he never married. Well, that's kind of a bummer, right? That's the pits. You know, a means of grace, and I don't even get to do it. And there's other ones, right? The holy orders is another sacrament in the Catholic Church. Well, if you're not a priest or a bishop or a nun, well, you don't get that one either, right? Whereas, what does the sacraments, what do they all do? All the sacraments, circumcision and Passover in the Old Testament, baptism, Lord's Supper in the New Testament. Well, they don't distinguish between different kinds of believers. They say, this is the grace of salvation that is given to all of God's people that we all share together. And that's why the signs are such a simple thing, an easy thing. Because we all have to eat, and we all have to drink, and we all have to have a bath. Right? And so God is saying these common signs and seals, these ordinary things, they teach you something about what Christ has done for you. And that is a blessing for us. A real blessing for us as we are baptized and as we watch others be baptized and as we partake of communion together. It is a blessed time of rejoicing because we all get to share in it and rejoice knowing that we have all been given the same saving grace. We all have the same Savior. I think that's a reason to rejoice. I think. But this brings us to our last point. And that is why I chose this passage this time then rather than leaving it for baptism particularly. When we get there. Paul here is talking about being circumcised in our hearts and what Christ has done for us and to us. He goes on in the next section to explain that this is why we are not legalists and seek to be righteous by doing all kinds of outward things, all the things that we can contribute. No. We are righteous and holy in the sight of God purely because of what Christ has done for us and to us. Notice in our passage, though, how closely Paul talks about being circumcised in our hearts by Christ and what happens to us in baptism. He basically says it in the same breath, doesn't he? Now, I want to be careful here. And I want to be clear that from the teachings of Scripture and from plain reason, we are not born again because we are baptized. Or have our sins actually washed away and giving saving grace because we partake of the Lord's Supper. That is not what Scripture teaches. If that were the case, we'd be going to every hospital and sprinkling every baby that was born, and we would be shoving wine and bread down everybody's throat. Right? Because we want them to be saved. And if we could do it that easy, then that's what we'd do. But it doesn't work that way. Because salvation isn't something that we do, nor is it something that we give to somebody else. It is what God does to us and what He does to us. We believe that for the Christian who receives the sign of circumcision and participates in Holy Communion, that Christ is personally and wonderfully working through the Word and elements and the Holy Spirit to bless the person with all the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. To qualify that again, that is when a Christian receives the sacraments. Christ, through the sacraments, is giving we who are elect Himself. Notice that the circumcision of our hearts, the cutting away of our impurity, is done by Christ as we are united by faith to Him and to His death. And through the instrument of faith, we are also raised by Christ to new life in Him. The sacraments then should be precious to us, not because we believe that by the act performed, grace is given, but rather in receiving baptism and in participating in the Lord's Supper by faith, we are given Christ Himself and all the blessings He has obtained for us by His death and resurrection. That's an important distinction. We cannot put the emphasis on the elements themselves. The emphasis has to be on Christ and what He has done and what He is doing through His Word and through these visible signs and seals. And that our receiving of Christ is not because we determined to be baptized or we determined to receive the Lord's Supper, but rather that Christ Himself is giving Himself to us. It's sort of like you don't get to go to God and demand that He give you something. You wouldn't go to the Queen of England and say, "I demand that you give me a house." You wouldn't do that. Right? But if the Queen of England gave you a house, well, that's a gift that you can receive with gladness, isn't it? Well, it's the same thing with the Lord Jesus. We come to Him and we are expectant that He will feed us because He promised to. But we come receiving Him as He gives Himself to us. It is an act of love that He gives to us. It is directional, right? Yes, we receive what God has given to us, but God is the giver. He comes to us in these signs and seals. Now, the focus, as I said, is always on Christ, and it is on who He is and what He has done for us, principally in His death and resurrection. That's why Paul says in verses 13 through 15, "And you being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Christ, by His death and resurrection, has put to death our old nature and made us alive in Him with a new nature. He has taken away from us the judgment of God that we deserve, and He has taken away our sin. And He has triumphed over that sin, over the curse of sin, which is death, and triumphed over the devil. And so all those blessings, besides many others, are ours by faith in Christ, and we are comforted, assured, nourished, fortified, encouraged, and strengthened in these gospel truths through the preaching of the word and through the sacraments. As we have communion next week, the Lord willing, I encourage you all to examine your own hearts to see if you really do believe upon the Lord Jesus and rest in His salvation alone. And if you feel you do not, I would ask that you please talk to me or one of the elders, that we may either, as we read in the form, quiet your conscience, or that we may lead you to Christ, that you may be converted. But for us who do believe, let us come next week ready and eager to be encouraged, strengthened, assured, and nourished by Christ Himself, with Christ Himself. We live in a day and age in which of many people want the blessings of Jesus, but they don't actually want Jesus. Isn't that true? Everybody wants eternal life. Everybody wants to go to heaven. I shouldn't say everybody. I did hear somebody in Chicago yell, "I want to go to hell." So, not everybody, I guess. But lots of people do. Lots of people want the benefits, right? But they don't want Jesus. Or they want a different Jesus, which really isn't Jesus then. What comes to us by the Word of God and by the sacraments is Jesus and all of His blessings, and they cannot be separated. And so that is why when we come together for communion, we are receiving Christ Himself, His body and His blood. That is no small thing. It is a weighty thing. It is a glorious thing. And it is something that we should look forward to with great eagerness, but also something that we should give thanks for and be incredibly humbled by. Because the one that you have sinned against, the one whom your sin nailed to the cross, is asking you to dine with Him. And He is telling you, "I do not want to do anything to you that you actually deserve for what you've done. But I want to give you only eternal blessing."
that's a reason to rejoice and to be excited for next Sunday. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your great wisdom. For you have looked upon us, your people, and you have considered our frame, and you know that we are weak and we are but dust. And so you have come down to us, and you have communicated to us with a language that we can understand, and with signs and symbols that are so simple and yet so clear to us, of what you have done to us and for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that we would come to you with all of our sin and bring them to the cross of Christ. Lord Jesus, take them from us. We know that you have died once for all. We pray that you would remove from us all our iniquity, and that we would stand before you now and throughout all eternity as those who have been washed by your most precious blood and have been made alive by your death and resurrection. May we always rejoice and live the life that you have given to us. May you receive all the praise and glory. For we recognize that these blessings that we experience and the eternal life that we live has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with your sovereign and gracious power to save. We pray that you would receive all glory from us and from your church throughout all the world, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.